الله لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء هو الذي يصوركم في الأرحام كيف يشاء الله لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم هو الذي أنزل إلى هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا إنك جامع الناس ليوم لا ريب فيه لا ريب فيه إن الله لا يخلف الميعاد صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Alif Lam Mim. Allah, none has the right to be worshipped but He, the ever-living, the one who sustains and protects all that exists. It is He who has sent down the book to you with truth, confirming what came before it, and He sent down the Tawrat and the Injil. Aforetime as a guidance to mankind, and He sent down the criteria. Truly, those who disbelieve in the ayat of Allah, for them there is a severe torment, and Allah is Almighty, all able of retribution. Truly, nothing is hidden from Allah in the earth or in the heavens. He it is who shapes you in the wombs as He pleases. None has the right to be worshipped but He, the Almighty, the All-Wise. It is He who sent down to you the book. In it are verses that are entirely clear. They are the foundations of the book, Al-Fara'id and Al-Hudud, and others not entirely clear. So as for those in whose hearts there is a deviation, they follow that which is not entirely clear thereof, seeking Al-Fitna, and seeking for its hidden meanings, but none knows its hidden meanings but Allah. And those who are firmly grounded in knowledge say, We believe in it, the whole of it. The whole of it are from our Lord. And none receive admonition except men of understanding. They say, our Lord, let not our hearts deviate after you have guided us and grant us mercy from you. Truly you are the bestower. Our Lord, verily, it is you who will gather mankind together on the day about which there is no doubt. Verily, Allah never breaks his promise. Sadaq Allah al-Ali al-Azim wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-Tahirin. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Thank you for joining us in our second night of programs for Muharram to commemorate the blessed death of our master Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Before I start with the announcements, if I could just kindly request everyone to move forward. There's a lot of space in the front still to make room for the people, inshallah, who might come later. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Okay, inshallah, just to go over the program again, we start every night at with Salah. We open the doors around 8 p.m. or earlier than that, but the program starts at 8 p.m. and we start with Salah soon after. Then we recite Quran as we just did, followed by a speech. And then we have the Latmiya. And then after Latmiya, we have Ziyarat Warith. And then finishing off with food, inshallah. Just wanted to announce that there are some sponsorship slots still available. If you would like to sponsor a night, please let myself know or one of the other volunteers, and we could help you with that, inshallah. And we would like to please request everyone to recite Fatiha for those who sponsored dinner tonight, as well as for their families and for their marhumin, inshallah. Also, if anyone has the talent of reciting Latmiyat, please let me know, or Brother Rida Mansouri, inshallah, we could see if we could have you recite for us, inshallah. Also, inshallah, tomorrow there's going to be a women's program led by the Sayyid's, Sayyid Jafari's wife, Alima Iman Shaywani. And it's going to be again tomorrow, Sunday, at 11 a.m. Inshallah, the doors are going to open at 10:30 a.m. Alhamdulillah, we do have a children's program. It's going to be today as well as tomorrow. And then for next week, it's going to be from Thursday to Sunday. It's for ages 4 through 8. One of the sisters has graciously set up programs for the children upstairs. So if you would like to take advantage of that, please send your kids upstairs. Also, if anyone... especially from the sister side, needs some space upstairs, inshallah, for example, for children and whatnot. There are TVs upstairs, and it's broadcast upstairs if you would like to listen to the speech while taking care of your children upstairs, inshallah. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce our Sayyid. Sayyid Ali Jafari was born in New York, and he grew up in Michigan. He attended Michigan State University and the University of Texas School of Law. After working as a lawyer for 4 years, in 2013, he moved to Qom with his family, where he still studies to this day. And alhamdulillah, we're blessed with his presence. Please help me invite him with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين أما بعد Brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته Yesterday we had the honor and privilege to remember this tragedy of Karbala and to begin our remembrance and we talked about a few introductory points vis-a-vis or in relation to our topic, which is the fall of the elite. We said that number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Kabut, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَنْ يُتْرَكُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us two things we said in this verse, in these two verses. He says, number one, if you're claiming faith, if you're coming and showing up to the majalis of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, then expect tests. Don't think that you can sit back and say, oh, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, I'm a good person. I do all my wajibat. I come to the majalis. Now, you know, should be smooth sailing. No, that's not what this life is about. That's what the next life is about, inshallah. First, that's the first point we took away. Secondly, we said that Allah points to those who came before. He says, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ He says, surely we tested those who came before. And we know who were truthful, and we're surely going to find out and identify who are truthful and who are the liars. Meaning, who are those who are not true to their claim to faith. Right, so this is what we talked about. And we said Imam Ali alayhi salam, he tells us in Nahj al-Balagha how we should look at history. Right? We said, don't look at it like Hollywood. Don't look at it like fairy tales. Right? These are real people. Okay? And we have to look at it and understand they're real people. And that's what we're going to be doing in the next 10 nights or so. We said that by looking at the fall of the elite, meaning that those who at some point in time were spiritually elite, meaning that they were close to the Holy Prophet, they were close to the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were following the path, but then they fell off. What's the benefit of that for us? The benefit is that we see that, hey, if it happened to them, guess what? It could happen to me. It could happen to you. Okay? So tonight, what we're going to talk about, it might scare you a little bit. Okay? And that's okay. Inshallah, I'll fix it later. Okay? But if you walk out of here feeling like, man, if it happened to him, you know, I'm in trouble. Okay, then I did my job tonight. Okay, that's the feeling I want us to have coming out of here. Right? To understand the seriousness of spiritual falls. Meaning that just because you've been here in the majalis of Abu Abdullah the last 25 years, the last 10 years, the last 5 years, doesn't mean you're going to be there 20 years from now. Doesn't mean you're going to be there on your last day. Right? We got to be on our toes. Okay, we got to take it serious. So if you send me a salawat, we're going to start our discussion about Zubair. What we're going to do with each of these individuals is we're going to answer three questions. Number one, who was he? Number two, what did he do? And number three, why did he do it? And that's where we're going to get the lessons from the why that he did it. So who was Zubair? Okay. Let's start off, let's look at his family. Okay, his father, his mother. Okay. His mother was Safiya bint Abdul Muttalib, meaning that she was the sister of Hazrat Abdullah, of Hazrat Abu Talib, of Hazrat Hamza, making Zubair the first cousin of Rasulullah, the first cousin of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Okay, he was a few years older than Imam Ali. Okay, so this is from his mother's side. You can't get much closer than that. From his father's side, His father was Awam, the son of Khuwaylid. Who was Khuwaylid? The father of Bibi Khadija. Meaning that he was the nephew of Bibi Khadija. So we see from the father's side, from the mother's side, he's right there, he's family. Okay, well, you say, okay, well, so what? Family. You know, we know that that's not an indicator of someone being on the right path, right? Yes. So when did he accept Islam? Did he accept Islam, you know, when the Holy Prophet was marching to Mecca and things were comfortable and, you know, the victory was clear? We see that in our sources, in our historical sources, they say that Zubair, maybe he was the 10th Muslim. Some say he was the 5th Muslim. Some say he was the 4th Muslim. But he was there. When the Holy Prophet, like we talked about last night, people were throwing garbage on him. People were calling him a magician. Right? The worst of the worst, the hardest of the hardest, when it wasn't cool to be Muslim. Right? Like it is today. Right? For our young people. Right? We got to remember that. Okay? It's cool to be Muslim. Okay? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So Zubair was there when it was tough. Okay? And I say, okay, well, alhamdulillah, he was Muslim. Like, what did he do? Okay, brothers and sisters, when we look at the sources of our brothers and Ahl Sunnah, you look at their books, and you start to read about Zubair, you know, it starts to paint a picture. You get this picture, and who does it remind you of? It reminded me of Abul Fadl Abbas. You know, brave, a warrior, you know, ghayra. He's got that, you know, chivalry, right? Now, you're not going to talk about the Prophet like that, right? It should bother us when someone talks about the Prophet. It should bother us when someone talks about our leaders, okay? This was Zubair. But guess what? When you start to look at our Shia sources, you come away with the same feeling. Subhanallah. You know, we see that high praise from who? From Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet said, لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ هَوَارِيٌ وَالْحَوَارِي الزُّبَيْرِ. For every prophet, there are disciples. Right? The same word that's used for Jesus' disciples. For every prophet, there's disciples. And my disciple is who? Zubair. Ya Allah. Can you get higher praise than that? What does Imam Ali say? We mentioned briefly yesterday. Okay? He said, مَا زَالَ زُبَيْر رَجُلًا مِنَّا أَحْلِ الْبَيْتِ حَتَّى نَشَعَ إِبْنَهُ. He said, Zubair remained. This is Nahjul Balagha. This is not me talking, okay? Zubair remained from amongst us, Ahlul Bayt, until something that I'm going to talk about in half an hour, okay? Minna Ahlul Bayt, you know, that's serious praise, okay? Minna Ahlul Bayt, like we could open that up for, you know, the rest of the night. The spiritual dimensions, what's being talked about here? Okay, but we see high praise from who? Imam Ali, the Holy Prophet. I don't need to say anything else, but guess what? I'm going to. Why? Because we're not going to understand the lesson until we fully appreciate who he was. Okay? So you say, okay, well, why was there all this praise? What did he do? During the lifetime of the Holy Prophet, how many times did Zubair put on his armor, take out his sword, and go to battle for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, go to battle for Islam? 21 times. 21 times. When he was older, he was in a bathhouse. Somebody saw him and they were like, wow, like what happened? You know? And he said, I earned these by defending Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. You say, okay, alhamdulillah. You know, okay, alhamdulillah. He did a lot. But we say, wait a minute. We are the followers of Amir al-Mu'mineen. We are the followers of Ghadir. It's not enough for us that someone was just there at the time of the Holy Prophet. What happened after? That's where people fall off. That's where people fail the test. Right? So I take you now. You come with me, okay, to the year 11 AH. The 11th year after Hijri. Okay? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has just been buried. And we're standing there and we're watching this scene. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, he's holding a shovel. The tradition says he's holding the shovel. Sweat is pouring down his face, tears are in his eyes. And someone comes to him and they say, Ya Ali. They say, some people have gathered at Saqifah to to discuss the issue of leadership. What does Imam Ali say? He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُوا. He says the same verse we're talking about. He says, do people think they're going to be left alone to say we believe and not be tried? This was the trial. Where did Zubair stand? Okay. Imam Ali going house to house with Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, reminding people of the promise that they had made at Ghadir. Reminding them of the bayah they had given to Imam Ali. Imam Ali said, I had told the Holy Prophet had promised me that if I had 40 people, then I have the right to take my haq back, to go after my rights. 40 people. He said, if you're serious, if you're down for the cause, if you're really about it, tomorrow meet me at so-and-so place with what? With your head shaved. As a sign that you're ready to go. Okay? Salman Farsi, he says that the next day we went, how many people were there out of the 40? Or the, we were looking for 40, we talked to all these people. How many people showed up? Okay, the tradition that I saw, maybe is different than what some of you brothers, knowledgeable brothers and sisters have seen. It says there's four. They asked Salman, Man al-Arba? Who are the four? What does he say? He says, Ana, me, wa Abu Dharrin, wa al-Miqdad, wa Zubair. Ya Allah. He was still there. Tough times. Okay, if I stopped here and I started, keep going, you guys would be like, okay, it's crazy. But guess what? It's about to get crazier. Okay? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج. Now let's take ourselves to where? To the door of Fatima al-Zahra. Again, that chivalry, right? We can't be like, unfortunately, you know, American society oftentimes makes us. It's like, you know, somebody comes up and like, you know, insults our mother, insults our wives. We're like, oh, you know, everybody to each his own. Nah, bro, come on. As a Muslim, we have to have that ghayra, that manliness. Okay, that doesn't mean we'll go out and be violent, but it needs to bother us. You know, when someone says something about Rasulullah, when someone says something about the Quran. Okay, this is important for our youth to know. Look at Zubair here. Okay, at the door of Fatima, he sees what's happening to Amir al-Mu'mineen. What does he say? He says, oh, the children of Abdul Muttalib, أَيَفْعَلُ هَذَا بِعَلِيٍّ وَأَنْتُمْ أَحْيَا. He says, they're doing this to Amir al-Mu'mineen, they're doing this to Ali, and you're alive? You see? And then he says, لا أغمد سيفا حتى يبعي علي. He takes out his sword, it says. He says, I will not put this sword back until they do bay'ah of Ali. SubhanAllah. Right? They say he was knocked to the ground, his sword was knocked away. And this is an interesting point here, in parentheses. Okay? You know, as my brother and teacher, you know, Sheikh Amin Rastani, he says in parentheses, right? I took it from him, okay? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, the reaction of some of the ashab of Imam Ali alayhi salam here at this crucial moment was very telling to their spiritual station. He says, Imam Ali had told them, no response. Whatever you see tonight, no response from you. He says, Miqdad. He says, Zubair unsheathed his sword. He was knocked down. It upset him, what he saw. They say, Salman, he thought about doing something. And he said, no, Imam Ali said, don't do anything. They said, Miqdad didn't even think about doing something. You know, and according to this tradition, it speaks very highly of Miqdad because of this. Okay. But we see that he was a serious defender of Imam Ali. We're not talking about some fringe guy, you know, who shows up at the end of the battle. No, we're talking about the most serious of times. Okay, you're like, alright, okay, we get it. No, you don't get it. Okay, I gotta drill it into you so we can take away the lesson. The funeral of Fatima al-Zahra. Okay, the secret of the Ahlul Bayt. Right? She says, I don't want anyone there. I want it as a sign. Right? Bury me when? At Layla, at night. Itfinni Layla. Bury me at night. I want it to be a sign. For forever, for people to remember that, hey, something wasn't right. Okay. who was invited? Who was there? Who knows this secret, right? Even we see that the father of Ayatollah Marashi Najafi, you know, he had a makashafa or a vision. I believe it was with Imam Ali. And he said, I want to do, or it was a tasharraf, he met with Imam Mahdi, one of the two. He said, I want to do ziyarah of the Lady Fatima to Zahra, tell me where the grave is. And he was told, somebody of his level, he was told, go do ziyarah of Fatima Masuma, you'll get the same reward. He wasn't given the secret, you see. But what does it say here? Shahida dafnaha, who witnessed her burial, besides Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, the Ahlul Bayt? Salman, Miqdad, Abu Dhar, Ibn Masud, Abbas, Ibn Abdul Muttalib, Zubair. Ya Allah. He was there at the funeral of Fatima Zahra. Okay, you're like, all right, Ali, we get it, let's go. You know, I'm taking 16 and a half minutes. You know, no, I'm not done. Okay? This next thing, this is the last one, okay? If I hadn't seen this discussed by Ayatollah Bahjat in one of his works, I myself would have trouble coming and saying it on the minbar. It would have been difficult for me to say. I'd say, you know, maybe that's, you know, there's differences of opinion and, you know, we need to look into that, research it more. I saw Ayatollah Bahjat discuss this. Okay, I saw it in his works. He said that in the will of Fatima Zahra, she said, bury me at night. Okay? For the reasons we discussed. Then she said, Ali, if it is because the social conditions do not allow you to do that, to carry out that task, then my request is that Zubair do that. Why? Because he's one of us and he's capable of doing this difficult task. Ya Allah. Brothers and sisters, why do I spend 17 minutes discussing this? Because what we're about to get into for the next 20 minutes, it needs to be crazy to us. It needs to be like, wow. Like, how could that have happened? It needs to be scary to us. We need to realize and wake up that it's not enough for us to just show up here and then go back to our lives, right? Karbala is a revolution. Ashura is a revolution, right? The revolution starts here in our hearts. It starts in our actions, okay? And that's why we're going over the fall of the elite. That's why we're discussing Zubair. Send me a salawat ala Muhammad wa alayhi. So now you say, okay, we understand. He was with Imam Ali alayhi salam. But what happened? Okay, so we talked about number, right? So we had three questions. Who was he? All right, we got that. Okay, what did he do? What happened? Okay, what did he do? Before we get to the why. During the times of the first two khalifs, he was tested with two things. He was tested with two things that many of us are often tested with. Number one is wealth. Okay, he gained a lot of wealth. We won't go into the reasons, but it says that, you know, his wife said that when I married him, he had a horse, a shield, and a sword. And it says that by the time of these first two khalifs, this 12 years or so, from 11 AH to 23 AH, it said he had 11 houses. The other thing he was tested with was notoriety. Now the Muslim Empire had grown significantly, right? There were a lot of victories, and he had a hand in some of those victories. And he had grown significantly in notoriety, such that by the year 23, now 12 years later, he was one of the six individuals chosen by the second Khalif for the Shura. There was a Shura that when the second Khalif was dying, he said, we're going to pick these six people. They're going to come together in a room. They're going to decide who's the third Khalif. Okay? And we're going to discuss that in detail tomorrow. But he was one of those six people, along with Imam Ali alayhi salam. So now, we're seeing, okay, we're fast forwarding 12 years later. And, you know, he's gained all this wealth, his notoriety. You say, okay, he must have fell off. Right? So they say, okay, we're in this room now, the six of us. Who should be the third Khalif? What do you think Zubair says? Do you think he says, me, me, me? You see, the lesson we learn here, brothers and sisters, is that spiritual falls don't happen overnight. What does Zubair say in the year 23 AH, 12 years after he was at the door of Fatima taking out his sword? He says, Ali. He says, he's the most qualified. He says, not me. He says, Ali. Okay, and for reasons that we'll discuss tomorrow, we see that Imam Ali didn't become the third caliph. Okay, but we see the fall doesn't happen overnight. Okay, so now we're going to fast forward again, 12 years later, okay, to the end of the time of the third caliph. Right, this is when the story, our story of Zubair continues. Right, there was a lot of social dissatisfaction, let's say, with some of the policies of the third caliph that we're not going to get into. And we see that at that time, someone says that, look, I came to Medina, I saw the situation. They were encircling the house of the third caliph. I went to Imam Ali alayhi salam. I said, what should we do? Imam Ali said, we should show patience. We should see if we can get him to change his ways. He said, I went to Talha, who was another companion of the Holy Prophet. He said, and I asked him what we should do. And Talha said, get the fire ready. Okay, and Talha is a whole nother discussion, right? It would be a whole nother speech, and we're not going to have time for that in these 12 nights, right? But we see that Talha said that, get the fire ready. Okay. He said that Imam Ali alayhi salam came. He went to Talha. He says, you guys are stopping water from reaching the third caliph, right? Allow him to get water. He says that Imam Ali was told in no uncertain terms, it's none of your business. Okay? And we see that Imam Ali alayhi salam went back to his home. According to some traditions, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein were there trying to stop people from entering the house of the third caliph, but eventually they climbed the walls and they assassinated the third caliph. This is a long discussion, okay, about why, what was Imam Ali's position, and so on and so forth. We're not going to get into. But what happened next is we see that the people come to Amir al-Mu'mineen. They come to him, they say, Imam Ali, there's no one else for us now. We've understood after 25 years that there's no one else that we should have came to. Okay, but here, when they come, when Talha and Zubair come to Imam Ali, it's very interesting what they say. Look at the difference from even 12 years ago when Zubair was saying Ali. Okay, what is said, they say, look, Imam Ali says, look, Imam Ali went to his orchard on the outskirts of Medina. He says, look, the same way for the last 25 years I've been an advisor, let me be an advisor. You take it up, Talha, you take it up, Zubair. I'll continue to advise you. Right? He understood the situation, the reality, what was going on behind the scenes. But what is Talha and what is Zubair? What do they say? They say, Ali, no one is more deserving than you. Okay, alhamdulillah. But they added one thing else. They said, and the people will only accept you. You see? It's changed a little bit. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, when they said this to me, I saw the nifaq in their eyes. Ya Allah. Like I told you yesterday, we don't need a masaib today. You know, if we just go through the story of Zubair, it's enough for us. What happened? He says, I saw the nifaq in their eyes. He says, are you sure you're not going to double cross me? Are you sure you're going to listen? I'm going to rule in a way that may be difficult for the people, maybe difficult for you. I'm taking it to the justice of the Holy Prophet. Are you sure? They said, yes, Amir al-Mu'mineen, we're with you. They asked him for something though. Shortly after, they say, Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, we got your back. We've had your back from day one, you know. But the amount that we used to get from the third caliph, just if you could make sure, we keep that same amount. And Iraq, Syria, you have these big posts. You have to fill these jobs. And we're here, you know, ready to go. We've been here. You know, we were there with you in Ghadir. We were there in Badr. We were there with you at Badr, Uhud. You know, Khandaq, Khaybar. We've been with you. We're down. We got your back in the Shura. I gave you my vote, right? The door of Fatima al-Zahra, the funeral. Imam Ali alayhi salam says about the portions. He says, "Sabiqukuma asbaq am sabiqi." He says, were you earlier in accepting Islam or was I earlier? "Qirabatukuma aqrab am qarabati." Were you closer to the Holy Prophet or was I? He says, I'm taking this portion, you take this portion. What do you have to do with the portions that other people were giving you? Take the portions that we used to get from the Holy Prophet. Right? Let's divide it equally. I'm going to take this amount. If you need something, I got you. If from my personal wealth. But this is Bayt al-Mal. We're not playing around with the money of the people. Right? This is the justice of Ali. This is going to be the justice of Imam Mahdi that's going to make America turn in one night, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And he says, as far as the posts, I don't see it as good for you right now. You see? Brothers and sisters, this is a difficult test, you know. Like we said yesterday, Aitab Bahjat says, it's not like Yazid and Muawiyah came from hell and you and I came from heaven. You got to be real about it. 25 years you had somebody's back. You went to battle 20 times. You risked your life. You know, I didn't even mention Battle of Uhud. How many people stayed and defended the Prophet? Some people say it was 12. Zubair was there. Some people say no, it was only 7 that stayed. Zubair was there. Some people say it was only 3 people that stayed and defended the Holy Prophet. Zubair was there. And now, when the whole government, the whole empire, after all this, the Ummah, Zubair says, I just want to serve. Imam Ali says, no, it's not good for you. Do we have that in us, brothers and sisters? Are we humble enough? If my teacher tells me, you know what, Ali, it's better for you not to speak this year. What am I going to say? Sorry. I know my responsibility for the people. You see? We got to be real. We got to humble ourselves, brothers and sisters. The tests are going to be tough. Someone came to Sheikh Kulaini, you know, the author and the compiler of Usul al-Kafi, our greatest book of hadith. And he lived at the time of the minor occultation, the time when the Imam had, Imam Mahdi ajallahu ta'ala faraj al-Sharif, had 4 representatives. And this person came to Kulaini, and they do what they do to people who, you know, are wearing clothes like I wear. They try to cause trouble, right? They say, oh, what do you think about that Molana? You know, I heard him say this, right? Okay, so I know better than that. And I'm like, oh, brother, I didn't hear it. Okay. What did Kulaini say? They said, why is Hussein, the son of Ruh, why is he the representative of the Imam? Look at you. You should be the representative of the Imam. Alhamdulillah, there's knowledge, Usul al-Kafi. Now, what did Shaykh Khulaini respond? Right? He said, if Hussein ibn Ruh had Imam Mahdi hiding under his abba, we wouldn't know about it. That's why he's the representative and not me. You see, humbling ourselves. You know, Ayatollah Shahrudi, he passed away a few years ago. This great scholar, Ayatollah from Iraq, right? They say that he wasn't less than any of our great maraji that you know the names of. But what did he do? He served. All these years, he served the Islamic leadership. All these years, he served the marja'iyah. Right? This is a huge test, brothers and sisters. This was one of the tests of Zubair. Okay, so what happened next? Now we're at the time where they realize that, hey, look, there's no piece of the pie for them. So they left Medina, they head to Mecca, and eventually they end up in Basra. And it's a long story. You know, the wife of the Holy Prophet is with them. It's a long story, right? And just I'll mention one part, you know, because it's an interesting and historical point, that when they were leaving for war, they were headed towards Basra, where they were going to try to basically, you know, overthrow Basra and take the troops there, and where they were successful in doing that, you know, they passed through a particular town. In that town, there were dogs that were barking. And the wife of the Holy Prophet, she remembered that the Holy Prophet had warned her. That says, if you get to X place and there you hear dogs barking, beware. She asks, she says, where are we? And they say, you know, what do you mean? She's like, are we in X place? Okay, and it says, according to some traditions, it was, whoever it was, it's not important. But basically, those who were with her at that time, according to some traditions, was Talha, and according to some traditions, it was Abdullah, the son of Zubair, I believe. They bring witnesses to say that we're not in X place, you know, and they continue on to Basra. Again, there's a whole discussion here that we're not going to go into. But I just want you guys to think about some of these things. Why? Because we have to humanize these tests, brothers and sisters. Right? If it stays in Disneyland out here, you know, we're not, you know, it's good guy, bad guy stuff like we talked about last night. We're not going to get the lesson. Okay? We're not going to grow from it. Okay, so now we see that what happened? Why is this war starting? The Battle of the Camel. Okay, let's leave here understanding what the Battle of the Camel was. You're like, okay, these guys didn't get the positions. We understand that. But what do you mean Battle of the Camel? What's going on here? Where is the battle? How are you convincing other people? What they convinced other people for was they said, Imam Ali is not taking revenge on the killers of the third Khalif. I say, well, what are you talking about? You're the one that said that Talha, he was talking about the fire and light the flames and don't give him water. How could people have fell for that? Well, luckily for you, you live in America in 2024, right? So it's like, you know, you create the Taliban and we got to fight the Taliban, and then you create Daesh and we got to fight Daesh. Okay. It's not difficult for us to see how that could have happened. How could people have been fooled? Right? Today with the internet and all this mass media and all these educated and enlightened, you know, progressives and all, you know, you guys are out here in the West Coast, people walking around, you know, claiming to be dolphins and stuff, you know, all this progressive, you know, so they say, okay, well, we're seeing people are fooled today, right? So at that time, they didn't have, you know, mass media. They didn't know what was going on, right? But we see that still, what happened? They were ready for war. Okay, now here's a lesson for us. Imam Ali alayhi salam. You know, Imam Sadiq, he has this hadith from Imam Sadiq, where he says that there was barakah in Imam Ali alayhi salam fighting Ahl Qibla, other Muslims. This was the first time that Muslims fought each other. Why is there barakah? He said that because if it wasn't for Imam Ali having done this, none of us would have known how to do this. Right? And we're going to get into that in the next 2 days a little bit more. But we see that Imam Ali, for 3 days, he says, okay, what am I going to do? These guys are starting an army against me. And we're going to sit back here. Oh, so we got to go and meet them. Okay. So he goes, but for 3 days, he's camped out. He's not starting the war. And he's trying to discuss. He's trying to call them back to the Book of Allah. He's trying to call them back to the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet. For 3 days, he's sending messengers. His messengers are getting killed. He's sending other messengers. Okay. It gets to the point where Malik Ashtar is like, look, they're literally shooting arrows at us. Do we have permission now to defend ourselves? To that point, Imam Ali alayhi salam didn't want to go. And this is a lesson for us when it comes to what's going on today. I was in a speech once of one of the Maraji when he says that, look, we're not happy having to fight Daesh. They're Muslims. We're not happy as Shia to have to fight in any place a Muslim. No. Right? But at the same time, we have to do our responsibility even if at the last stage. If that's what the last case scenario is, okay. But it's the last step. We're not doing it happily because we know what's going on behind the scenes. In this situation, behind the scenes, Muawiyah was there writing letters to Talha that says, handle this war. I got Syria on lock. We're going to give it to you and I'm going to come. I'll be the first one to do bayah. Sending the same exact letter to Zubair. You see? Playing games behind the scenes. So we understand that behind the scenes, there's things going on, right? We're never happy when Muslims have to fight other Muslims. Never. Okay, this is an important point for us to recognize. Send me a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Finally, Imam Ali says, look, I need to talk to Zubair myself. He gets Zubair to come and meet him in the middle of the battlefield. And he says, Zubair, my cousin, do you remember so many years ago when you and I were walking and you had your arm around my shoulder, and the Holy Prophet saw us and he said, oh Zubair, do you love your cousin? And what did you say? You said, Ya Rasulullah, of course, why wouldn't I love my cousin? And he said, there will be a day when you fight against him and you will be in the wrong. Do you remember that? SubhanAllah. Zubair says that time and shaitan had made me forget. See, brothers and sisters, there's a lesson for us here. Second chances might come. Right now, we're here in the month of Muharram. We're getting a second chance, right? But do we get a third chance? Do we get a fourth chance? What does Zubair do? He starts to leave the battlefield. Alhamdulillah. But who stops him? مَا زَالَ زُبَيْر رَجُلًا مِنَّا أَحْلَ الْبَيْتِ حَتَّى نَشَأَ إِبْنَهُ. He was from amongst us, Ahlul Bayt, until what? Until his son came along. His son says, Abdullah, his son, he says, Oh, Father, where are you going? Hell yeah, tens of thousands of people ready to die for you to become the Khalif. Where are you going? He says, Imam Ali told me something that I'll never fight him again. I've sworn that I'll never fight him now. He says, what will the women say about you? Ya Allah. See, brothers and sisters, you know, I remember one of my teachers, he told me, when you start working for Islam, the first thing you have to be ready to sacrifice is your reputation. It's okay, what will the women say about us? All he had to say there, don't care. Keep it moving. Leave the battlefield. You see? Tens of thousands of people looking at you as their leader, right? Here I'm remembering our great Shaheed Malcolm X, right? He didn't care, tens of thousands of people looking at him to the leader, as a leader, as the next leader. He said, no, it's wrong. It's wrong. What I've been teaching people is wrong. He walked away, okay? What happened? Zubair is confused. He charges back, trying to start the battle. Imam Ali sees what's going on. He sees there's some internal, you know, incongruence here, whatever the word you want to use. He tells his people, he says, move out of the way. Don't fight him. Three times Zubair goes, tries to attack. Nobody fights him. Finally, he leaves the battlefield. Okay? And what is his end? One of his own soldiers sees him leave the battlefield and says, hey, this is my chance to get in good with Ali. He follows him. He pretends to be his friend. When they're going to pray, when Zubair is in sajda, he comes, he hits Zubair on the head with a rock and kills him. Okay. He comes back. Now the battle goes on. What happens during the battle? Imam Ali alayhi salam does Imam Ali things. Alhamdulillah. And the Muslims and the followers of Ali ibn Abi Talib are victorious in this very important battle. What happens to Talha? Muawiyah had sent Marwan, his representative, to be with Talha and Zubair. During the battle, when things are starting to fall apart because Zubair had left, Marwan takes an arrow and shoots it at Talha, who's on the same side. He shoots it at him. Talha dies from those wounds. What does Marwan say? He says, I don't have to go after the killers of Uthman anymore. He was Umawi. He says, I've avenged the Khalif at this point. Right. And so the battle ends. Imam Ali alayhi salam is in his tent. This individual comes with the head of Zubair. He says, I have come to see Ali ibn Abi Talib. Malik Ashar says, who is at the tent? Who is it? He says, the killer of Zubair. Imam Ali alayhi salam from the back, what does he say? He says, I grant you permission to enter the tent and to enter the hellfire. SubhanAllah. So here, brothers and sisters, there's difference of opinion amongst the ulama of the Shia. From what I've gathered, and this is just my own personal research, I could be mistaken. It seems like the majority position is that, look, yes, it was good. Zubair left the battlefield. That was the right thing. He was killed innocently. And so Imam Ali alayhi salam was saying that this was a wrong action that this individual did. Shouldn't have killed him. But that doesn't absolve him of not doing what, let's say, Hur did, by coming to the side of the Imam, who he should have recognized, who he recognized. Whereas others, which seems like a minority amongst the Shia, will say, look, Imam Ali was saying this because at this point, this person has left the battlefield, and maybe he's forgiven. Allahu A'la. Okay? I'm not here, and we're not here to pass this judgment, per se. Okay? Obviously, starting a battle against the Imam of the time is not a small thing. Right? But we're not focused on Zubair tonight. We're talking about Zubair tonight. Why? Because we're focusing on ourselves. We're trying to gain the lessons. Okay. And just, it's a Saturday night, so you know, usually I'm going to stop at 40 minutes. Tonight, if you send me a salawat, I'm going to stop in 10 more minutes, inshallah. Send me a salawat ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. I told them that I was a 35 to 40 minute guy because people can't pay attention more than that, including myself, right? But it's Saturday night, and we went from 13 speeches to 12 speeches. So this was the 2 speeches I'm doing in one. So you guys give me 10 minutes, we'll, inshallah, do the lessons and the musiba. The lessons are important. Muhammad wa Ali Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa Ajah. So first lesson that I'm taking away. So we talked about who he was, what he did. Why did he do it? The first lesson that I'm taking away was the fact that the challenge came from where? From his son. Brothers and sisters, you are going to be given tests in life. And guess what? They're not the tests that you're expecting. They might come from family. They might come from friends. They might come from wearing a turban. They might come from different places. You got to be prepared for wherever those tests come from. Okay? The second lesson is that we can never feel entitled based on our past. How many times, unfortunately, alhamdulillah, a community like this, I'm sure it doesn't happen, right? But I've seen this. You know, hey, this is my masjid. You know, I established this masjid. I gave, you know, $20,000 for this masjid. You know, feeling entitled because of what we did in the past. Okay, this is dangerous, brothers and sisters. The third lesson that I want to take is from the Holy Quran, 33 verse 4. Chapter 33 verse 4. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِّنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ. So Allah does not place two hearts inside one man. Okay? It's difficult for us to be here and say, I am waiting for the Imam of my time. I'm a soldier of the Imam of my time. I want to see the face of the Imam of the time, but I also enjoy looking at haram. Oh. Ijtama'i naqizain, as we say. Naqizain, as we say in, you know, philosophy. Yeah, these are contradictions. Okay? The same eyes that want to look at the Imam, they can't want to look at haram. Okay? We have to be in sync with our Imam, brothers and sisters. Okay, this is where the fall happens. If we had to point our finger, what happened here over time? It was that you can't be a supporter of Ali ibn Abi Talib and of the sons of Ali ibn Abi Talib, right? And be about 11 houses. It's not going to happen. No matter how much you might want it to happen, no matter how much we might want to be it, we might come here, we might cry, right? But we got to check ourselves in our actions. And I'm speaking to myself first and foremost. Like I said yesterday, no one is in need of these reminders more than myself. These are some of the lessons, brothers and sisters, that I took away from it. And I'm sure you all can think of and take away many more. And this was one of the great characteristics of one of the shuhada of Karbala. One of the shuhada of Karbala who didn't make it to Karbala. And that's the cousin of Imam Hussein, Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil, alayhi salam. And we're going to remember him tonight. We're talking about cousins tonight. You see, just because we're close to someone, just because we spend time with someone, just because we go to a place, we love a place, brothers and sisters, it takes more than that. It takes our actions. Hazrat Muslim, brothers and sisters, we have to understand who he was. He was someone praised by the Holy Prophet before he was even born. We have this tradition where the Holy Prophet was telling Imam Ali, I love your brother Aqil for three reasons. And one of the reasons is that he's going to have a son who is going to die out of the love of your son. He told this to Imam Ali. We see that he was someone who was married to the daughter of Imam Ali. Very close to Imam Ali. We see he was someone who fought bravely, gallantly in the Battle of Siffin, which we'll be discussing later this week. And he was someone, if we don't have a lot of information about Muslim, it's okay. All we really need to know is that when Imam Hussein alayhi salam looked at his companions, looked at his family, and had to choose one person for this important task, to represent him, to go and check and see, are the people ready? He chose Muslim. We all know the story, brothers and sisters. 18,000 people, according to some reports, giving bayah to Muslim. It would have been enough. But we see that those weren't 18,000 people whose hearts were in sync with their imam. Because when their test came, they chose the dunya over the akhirah. You see, brothers and sisters, we're trying to, when we cry for Hussein, when we cry for the shuhada, we're trying to get our hearts in sync with them so that the rest of our lives become in sync with them. And we see that this Muslim, he was in sync with his imam. Number one, his bravery. When he was in the house of that woman, when he was surrounded, when he saw that there was only one way, and that was to fight. They sent some soldiers in, a handful of soldiers, to fight Muslim. None of them came out. These are the children of Imam Ali we're talking about. They say they sent 10 more. They sent in 41 people. None of them returned. They called for backup. Ibn Ziyad said, what are you talking about? I sent you to get one guy. They said, do you think you sent us to get a shoemaker? This is the children of Ali you sent to. Send more people. This was Muslim. How else was he in sync? Brothers and sisters, when he saw that there was no other way for him, he was a person who left his family with Imam Hussein. His wife, he had a small child. They say he had 10 members of his family were Shaheed in Karbala. If it was me and I realized it was the end and I realized the massacre that was going to come, what would I be thinking about? Maybe I'd be thinking about my family, my children, my son, but not Muslim. He started to shed tears in front of the court of Ibn Ziyad. They started to laugh at him. They say, you're supposed to be brave. Look at you, cowering in front of the sword, in front of your death. He said, I'm not crying for myself. I'm crying because I know what these people have done to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. See, brothers and sisters, it was always about Hussein. The shuhada, it's always about their imam. Look at how much in sync he was with his imam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at how he was shaheed. They say that his mouth was bloodied, his teeth were broken, just like the teeth of Rasulullah. He asked for one sip of water before he was put to death. They say that finally they gave him a bowl of water. He tried to sip. Before he could drink, the blood fell in the water. You see, when you're in sync with your imam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with the same death of the imam. May Allah bless us all with the same death of as Abu Abdullah. With parched lips, surrounded by enemies. You see that? Just like his imam, when they began to behead him, what does he say? It says that وَهُوَ يُسَبِّحُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. He was doing tasbih, he was praising Allah. وَيَسْتَغْفِرُوهُ. And he was asking for forgiveness. وَيُصَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ. And he was praising the Holy Prophet, sending salutations upon the Holy Prophet. He was the first head on the spears, brothers and sisters. And he would not be the last. Ya Abu Abdullah. As Imam Hussein moved towards Karbala, he got words from on the way about the death of Muslim. He stopped. He cried. He recited poetry in his praise. And eventually, he ended up in Karbala. He said, I seek refuge from Karb wa Bala. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيُّ مُنْقَلَبًا يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. بك يا الله 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 بمحمد بعلي بفاتم بالحسن بالحسين. O Allah, we ask you for the sake of the pure blood of Muslim Ibn Aqil, to forgive our parents, to forgive our teachers, to forgive anyone who taught us a word in Islam. O Allah, we ask you for the pure blood of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, to make us of those who stay true to our covenant until our last breath. O Allah, we ask you for the sake of Fatima al-Zahra, to hasten the reappearance of the Imam and to make us his helpers when he comes.
وآخر دعوان أن الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام على شيب خضيب، السلام على الهد السريب، السلام على البدن السليب، السلام على الرأس المرفوع. يا أبا عبد الله، يا أبا عبد الله، يا أبا عبد الله. يا أبا عبد الله، يا أبا قال رسول الله إن لقتل الحسين حرارة في قلوب المؤمنين لا تبرد أبدا، surely there exists in the hearts of the believers to the martyrdom of Imam Hussein heat and love that never subsides. Ya Aba Abdullah, Ya Aba. يا أبا، يا أبا، كاربان رفت منزل بمنزل، كاربان رفت منزل بمنزل، قصه صاربان مند در دل. It is narrated when Imam Hussein and his caravan reached the land of Karbala, he asked for the name of the land. They told him Qadiriyya. Imam asked if there is any other name. They said it is known also as Nainawa. Some said it is called Nashati al-Furat, meaning shore of Euphrates. But Imam asked again, does it have any other name? One said the locals call it Karbala. Imam sighed and said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-karb wal-bala. This is the land of Karb, the land of grief and sadness. This is the land of Bala, this is the land of tests and difficulties and hardship. So then he added, قفوا ولا ترحلوا منها. Stop here, do not move forward. This is the place that we were supposed to be at. And then the mom continues telling where this land is. Baha huna wallahi manakhur rikabna, فها هنا والله سفك دماءنا. This is where our blood will be shed. Then Imam says something that is hard for me to say. Ya sahib al-zaman, forgive me, O Baqiyatullah, for reading this. فها هنا والله حتى حكى حريمنا. فها هنا والله قتل رجالنا. فها هنا والله ذبح أطفالنا. فها هنا والله تزار قبورنا. This is the place that the enemy will disrespect our family. حرم رسول الله. This is where our men will be massacred. This is the place where our children and babies will be slaughtered. Ya Aba Abdullah, Ya Aba. Ya Aba, Ya Aba, Ya Aba, Hayya ala al-aza, Hayya ala al-buka, Fi matam al-Husayn, Mazlum Karbala, Hayya ala al-aza. في ماتم الحسين مظلوم كرملا حيا على الرك حيا على البكاء في ماتم الحسين مظلوم كرملا حيا على البكاء في ماتم الحسين مظلوم كرملا.
جود عيني بالدموع والدماء قام جبرائيل ينعي في السماء وحسينا وحسينا وحسينا. جود عيني بالدموع والدماء قام جبرائيل ينعي في السماء وحسينا 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 حسينا. جود عيني بالدموع والدماء قام جبرائيل ينعي في السماء وحسينا 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 وحسينا. دمعة العين ذرفيا مقلتيا واندبي ذاك الشهيد الهاشمية واسي زينب وسكينة ورقية وحسينا 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 وحسينا. جود عيني بالدموع والدماء قام جبرائيل ينعي في السماء وحسينا 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 ويح قلبي لسكينة ما دهاها حقك قد روات أرض الطفوف من بكاها ويح قلبي لسكينة ما دهاها قد روات أرض الطفوف من بكاها تهتف أين أبيها ونداها وحسينا وحسينا حسينا جود عيني بالدموع والدماء قام جبرائيل ينعي في السماء وحسينا 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 يا لنور البدر غابا في أفولي وضحا ذاب اكتئابا للبتول يا لنور البدر غابا في أفولي وضحا ذاب اكتئابا للبتول نالها سهم المنايا والرسول وحسينا 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 جود عيني بالدموع والدماء قام جبرائيل ينعي في السماء وحسينا وحسينا لهف قلبي لمصاب حل فينا لهف قلبي لمصاب حل فينا يوقد في القلب نارا وحنينا ذكر روح الله تبقى ما حيينا وحسينا 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 حسينا جود عيني بالدموع والدماء قام جبرائيل ينعي في السماء وحسينا
يا أبا عبد الله 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 همه جا کربلا همه جا نینوا همه جا کربلا همه جا نینوا توی عرش خدا حتی بزم روز بپا همه جا کربلا همه جا نینوا توی عرش خدا حتی بزم روز بپا بیرق و پرچم و تکیه و علم شوق زیارت دیدن حرم کاش که بمونه برام دورم و وقتی نمیشه که برم اسم حسین و همین که میبرم زار کرب و بلا حی علی الحرم حی علی الحسین تو هر شرایطی لبیک یا حسین حی علی الحرم حی علی الحسین حشر يتي لبيك يا حسين 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 میگیره دستمو کرم اهل بیت میگیره دستمو کرم اهل بیت جایی که روز هست میشه حرم اهل بیت دل خوشی منو بیرق آزاد روزی و روزه گرفته برات کاش که بمونه برات نور حیاتی و کشتی نجات دور حرم ولی من با یه نگات ظاهر کرب و بلا راه نجات ما از غصه ها حسین تو هر شرایطی لبیک یا حسین 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 همه جا کربلا همه جا نینوا همه جا کربلا همه جا نینوا توی عرش خدا حتی بزم روز بپاس بیرق و پرچم و تکیه با علم شوق زیارت دیدن حرم کاش که بمونه برام دورم و وقتی نمیشه که برم اسم حسین و همین که میبرم ظاهر کرب و بلام حی علی الحرم حی علی الحسین تو هر شرایطی لبیک یا حسین لبیک یا حسین لبیک یا حسین همه خواهشم روز و شب کربلا به همین زودی ها ما رو به طلب کربلا روزه و نوه و عشق بیدلیل سوز و حرارت و ناله عمیق کاش که بمونه برام موک مچای عراقی ترین شونه بشونه کناره رفیق راهی کرب و بلا سر میشه زندگی هر لحظه با حسین سر میشه زندگی هر لحظه با حسین تو هر شرایطی لبیک یا حسین لبیک یا حسین
لبیک یا حسین توجه للزیارة بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم اللهم صل على محمد و آل محمد السلام عليك يا وارث آدم صفوة الله السلام عليك يا وارث نوح النبي الله السلام عليك يا وارث إبراهيم خليل الله السلام عليك يا وارث موسى كليم الله السلام عليك يا وارث عيسى روح الله السلام عليك يا وارث محمد حبيب الله السلام عليك يا وارث أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام السلام عليك يا ابن محمد المصطفى السلام عليك يا ابن علي المرتضى السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة الزهراء السلام عليك يا ابن خديجة الكبرى السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن الثمر والوتر الموت أشهد أنك قد أقمت الصلاة وآتيت الزكاة وأمرت بالمعروف ونهيت عن المنكر وأطعت الله ورسوله حتى أتاك اليقين فلعن الله أمة قتلت ولعن الله أمة ظلمت ولعن الله أمة سمعت بذلك فرضيت به يا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله أشهد أنك كنت نورا في الأصلاب الشامخة والأرحام المطهرة لم تنجسك الجاهلية بأنجاسها ولم تلبسك من مدلهمات ثيابها وأشهد أنك من دعائم الدين وأركان المؤمنين وأشهد أن الإمام البر التقي الرضي الزكي الهادي المهدي وأشهد أن الأئمة من ولدك كلمة التقوى وأعلام الهدى والعروة الوثقى والحجة على أهل الدنيا وأشهد الله وملائكته وأنبياءه ورسله أني بكم مؤمن وبإيابكم موقن بشرائع ديني وخواتيمي عملي وقلبي لقلبكم سلم وأمري لأمركم متبع صلوات الله عليكم وعلى أرواحكم وعلى أجسادكم وعلى أجسامكم وعلى شاهدكم وعلى غائبكم وعلى ظاهركم وعلى باطنكم بأبي أنت وأمي يا ابن رسول الله بأبي أنت وأمي يا أبا عبد الله لقد عظمت الرزية وجلت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل السماوات والأرض فلعن الله أمة أسرجت وألجمت وتهيأت لقتالك يا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله قصدت زيارة قصدت حرمك أسأل الله بالشأن الذي لك عنده وبالمحل الذي لك لديه أن يصلي على محمد وآل محمد وأن يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والآخرة برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصل اللهم على محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين الله
دعاء الفرج اللهم كن لوليك اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا